So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Francois, with the F, all right? If you want to do it with a V, it's not, it's wrong, all right? I serve as one of the elders here in this congregation, alongside Henry and Nico. And we have, and that was my child, I've got two of them, and then I've got a beautiful wife.
This is cool, C.S. Lewis, Space Trilogy.
Looks amazing. Sorry. It's like, what's that? I only know C.S. Lewis wrote Narnia, but that looks amazing. Yes. Okay. Okay. What do you got? Anyway. we've been here for a year and a half now. We moved from Mossel Bay to Stellenbosch. And it's interesting, when we came to Stellenbosch, I've never heard about Bern. All right, the only burn I have is heartburn, all right? But there's this place that's very fancy and very expensive called Bern. Have you guys heard about it? Oh, with a T. I feel the burnt. Like I said, I'm only here a year and a half, and I don't own any burnt stuff, okay? So yes. Yet and never. Geld in huis en thuis. Geld in huis. So I don't have that. So, but it's interesting, is I've never heard about it. The other thing that I never like really saw, and my wife, she studied in Stellenbosch years ago, and I never knew this, but when I came here in my car, I'm like, everyone just walks over the street in front of me and does not look left or right. All right? The sinner wants to drive over them and go like, I'm going to teach you a lesson, little boy. That it's like, like, I was so frustrated. I was like so frustrated. Why do you just walk over, like, over the street? And my wife's like, it's the unwritten rule in Stellenbosch. You stop. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to learn to stop. And then when we went to Mossel Bay for holiday last year, December, I literally just walked over the road. And then my wife had to tell me, this is not Stellenbosch. And like, people just going to want to drive over me, little boy. So it's just this ach on Stellenbosch. It's like, that's for the English people, that's ach on Stellenbosch. I don't know how to say it in English. That's Dutch. So it's the only thing I see here. The other thing is, like, when I go drop my kids in the morning, or the one kid, the other one needs to drive with us, I just see everyone jogging and running and bicycling. And it's like, there is some of them in Mossel Bay, but they're not that prevalent. It's like, if you want to be a Stellenbosch, you either have to jog or cycle. And everyone's like, use. And if you haven't done the versus run, then you're not out and back, then you're not part of them yet. Which is crazy. I remember when we got here and I looked for a fan, which was nowhere to be found in February because it's hot and it's burnt. So anyway, so it's very hot and there's no fan, and I walked in the mall, and I'm quite a techie. You guys know what a techie is? Like that thing you wear in your... No, I'm joking. It's not that. Technology. I love technology. Who else? I'm like, I love the latest products and everything. And I walked here and everyone had a MacBook and AirPods. And I was like, everything in me just went, I want AirPods. It's like, I want AirPods. I'm like, I desire AirPods. And I never really cared how I look. You can see it, all right? So like, even my fashion style is like, my wife would love me to wear to look nicer and act my age. But she as I came to Stellenbosch, I just saw everyone's like so fancy. I'm like, yes, just want to buy new clothes. And then I went through this clothes journey anyway, and I just wanted to look nice. And it's interesting how we as people conform so quickly to society around us. You might have joined or came from to Stellenbosch from Pietmanshoek, or give me a some town that only has a farm and a post office, all right? You might have come from there and you came all the way to Stellenbosch, and all of a sudden you just want to be burnt from the top to the bottom in clothes. You just want to run with your friends. You just wanted to look the best and wear your tights in the mall, you know? It's like, that's all you wanted to do. No offense.
And that's the guys.
And that's the guys. That's all you wanted to do, you know? I jogged in tights and people started saying stuff about me behind my back. And that's all you wanted to do. And why? Why? Because something in us wants to fit in. Something in us wants to conform to the fashion style around us. You want to, and some of you go like, I'm also like that. I'm like, I will never conform. But just look at yourself, all right? You do conform to some fashion statement. I remember when I was in grade 8 probably. I don't remember. It's the day... skinny jeans did not exist. All right, I was one of the first males that wore skinny jeans to school when we had civvies. And I remember walking into the class, and everyone burst out laughing at me. And I'm like, and it's like I wore skinnies, and it wasn't a thing. The only place you could find a skinny was in the ladies' department. Yes, I pulled it, all right? And everyone laughed at me, and everyone like, yeah, that's it. They were pointing their fingers at me. And what? A few years later, guys started wearing skinnies, and it was this thing. It was this whole fashion trend. And today, it's not. It's like, where's the skinnies? Now it's like, we're back to the 60s, and everyone is like, jeans. All right? It's like, it's crazy how we conform so quickly. And you were like, I'll never wear one of those. And all of a sudden, you're in the shop and you're buying it. Interesting, eh? Trends. You know, materialism. So quickly. We just fall into that. And you might think, I will never fall into it that quickly. It might not be fashion for you. It might not be AirPods for you. But it might be a trend. It might be a way of living. It might be a way of doing things that society and people around you do. And without you even noticing, you fall into that thing so quickly. Just look at TikTok. You guys know what TikTok is. Okay. I'm not on TikTok. I will die. I will get so addicted, to be honest with you. So if you're making notes today, the title of my preach, Xenia, is Discipleship Hijacked. You guys like my photo? B. I typed in the right stuff. Hey, magic. Discipleship Hijack. Now, what does it mean when somebody hijacks something? It's not just putting a gun against your head and hijacking your car. Alright? To hijack someone's thoughts or actions means to unlawfully seize control of their mind in transit. Did you hear that? To hijack someone's thoughts and actions, you know that your thoughts and actions can be hijacked the way you live? Means to unlawfully, which is wrong, seize control of the mind in transit. Well, how you think, how you react, how you do things. Redirecting their focus, decisions, behavior away from their intended path. And focusing them towards a different purpose or destination. Maybe I should get do a physical demonstration now. Okay, Nico. Come here. Just look. Craig, you can also come here. Joel, you can also come here. While you're at it, bro, let me just see where nobody will get hurt.
Okay.
Craig, just come stand here. Let me see that. Nico, you can also. Joel, you can also. I like your new pants. I feel I want to wear some pants like that. And Josh, yours is also nice.
All right. So,
do you two stand there, just there? All right. I haven't practiced it. And if I practice it, I only have kids to practice on, and that's chaos. Okay. So your destination is that table right there. Okay? I'm going to explain to you how to go there. All right. And you just follow me. Okay, so you're going to listen. Okay, but just look at the table. Okay. Great. Go. 3 steps forward. I go forward. Come on, you must be a little more dramatic. Okay, let me explain this to you. So Craig has got a destination. I chose the two biggest guys. Okay, Craig's got a destination that he's got, he has to. So if I prepped him well, they would have probably done it better. But what the world does is they shout in our ear, "You need to wear those clothes, Craig!" Let's do it. "You need to wear those clothes, Craig!" Give me a phone. And then Joel puts the phone in his face the whole time.
"Get on TikTok, Craig!
That didn't look like it would look in my head, but anyway, you got the idea. Just post that video without any caption. All right, just do that. So we sometimes want to walk like Craig to our destination, but what happens is that the society around us scream. Could you hear me say to him where to go while they were screaming? No. Okay, it's a good answer. You couldn't, because society is so loud. The world is so loud in screaming at us. And if I could, I would put the thing in his face as well. And show him, look at this, look at this. When you walk in the mall, it's in your face. Everything, fashion, trends. You pick up your phone, it's in your face. The things of this world is in your face. Imperialism, watching series and movies, it's in your face. You can't get away from it. And it wants to hijack your thoughts. Because if it gets your thoughts and you start thinking, what you think goes to your heart and that directs your steps, how you walk. And that's what the world wants to do. It wants to direct you in a certain way. It wants to hijack your thoughts. Because if it can infiltrate your thoughts, it can dictate where you need to walk. So what is a disciple? Because it's called, what's it called again? Discipleship hijacked. Right? What is the disciple? The standard definition of a disciple is someone who adheres to the teaching of another. Simple, right? So you teach me, I listen, and I do that. Okay, that's why the followers of Jesus was called disciples, because they adhered. They listened to him, they followed him, they did. That's why when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples and teach them everything they need to." What I taught you, what I taught, what I showed you, teach them those things. All right? That's a disciple. It is a follower or a learner. It refers to someone who takes up the way of someone else. You become like that person. That's why in Acts, when they looked at the Christians, when Jesus went up to heaven to go sit on his throne, and the disciples were left. They didn't call them anything. It was just people sharing Jesus and sharing the gospel. And people looked at their lives and they said, "You are Christians," which they actually were saying, "Well, you are little Christ. You look like Jesus. I want to ask you something today. When somebody looks at your life, like who do you look? Do you look like the rest of the world? Or do you look like Jesus? And you can only look like Jesus if you become a disciple of Jesus. Listening to his teaching and obeying his commandments, and then you become and look like him. Yeah. A disciple is simply someone who follows and learns from another person. It means not just listening to their teaching, but also choosing to live and practice the way they do. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I'm going to drink a lot of water because I'm shouting at you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, that's who you are, it's everything you have, as living sacrifices. And if you do that, what is it? It's holy and it's pleasing to God. All right? This is your true and proper worship. Do not. Do you hear that? You guys know what the Greek word is for do not? It's do not. It's simple. It's like your mom says, do not touch the oven. Ah! It's my truth. I'm going to touch the oven. Judgmental mom. You know, it's like, we do that. Did that hit home? Okay. Do not conform. Do not become. Do not listen. Do not look. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This world has a pattern. You guys know what a pattern is? A pattern is something if you... Who's knitting? Oh, don't be shy, remember? We're not conforming. You do you. Okay? You follow a pattern. Okay? I suck in following any pattern. Ask my wife. She's like, it's simple to make food. Just look at the recipe. I'm like, nah. I'm a cowboy. You know? Just do something. But there's a pattern of the world, and there's a pattern of God. Which one are you following? There's no middle ground. You're either for God or you're against God. You're either following the devil and you're against God. There's no in between. The world says there's in between. There's a koue Christen and a warm Christen. There's a groot Christen and a klein Christen. Like there's only a Christian. And that Christian means you follow Jesus and you look like Jesus. That's why they should give me a mic, because I'm shouting. All right. This is good. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. If you want to know God's will, yes, go to the Bible. But the more you follow him, the more you can make decisions that goes according to his will, because you're following him. If you're lost in the world, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. It's not pleasing to God if we follow the pattern of this world. Write that down. It's not pleasing to God if I follow the pattern of this world. Go on Instagram and say, I'm joking. And then hashtag Francois. All right. There's not really a Francois on Instagram. You see, the gospel teaches us this. The gospel teaches us that we were once following the pattern and the desires of this world. But when we put our trust and our faith and our hope in Christ, in Jesus, what he's done for us, what happens? Baptism happens. What is baptism? It is, I once was like this, but now I'm made new, resurrected with Christ. Now I'm a new creation. That's what you become. It's not something you can do. Remember that day you got saved and you suddenly realized, oh my goodness, I should not say that word anymore. Oh my goodness, I should not be friends with these people anymore because they're influencing me bad. Oh my goodness, I should not be smoking that thing anymore. He changes your nature. And that is what Paul is saying. Your worship unto God is if you lay down your life and follow Him and be transformed into His image. And not to be transformed in the world's image, because He just saved you out of that. One of the Proverbs says it's like a dog returning to its puke. Nobody likes eating puke. So why are you returning? So what is this pattern of, what is the pattern of this world? What is the world that Paul is referring to? If you think world, you think that globe. Maybe. And that's correct. It is the world. Okay? But in the Bible, it means something else. In the Bible, the world doesn't just mean that planet. Alright? That we live on. The world is it's talking about the culture that's around us. And cultures change, eh? And cultures are different. The way that the Western civilization, the way we do things, and the way that they do things in another country looks different. Do you agree? Yeah. That's why we don't transform according to culture. I don't transform and become like the South African culture or the Afrikaans culture. Eh? I like sokkie. We don't conform to that. We conform to the new culture, which is in Jesus, a heavenly culture. That's what we conform to. Not to anything, not to your tradition, not according to your culture, not according to anything but God. And the world, what they do is they turn us, our cultures, against one another. Okay? I might step on toes here, but I'm trying to follow just where I think God is going. In South Africa, we're trying to get the whites and the blacks and the coloreds and the Indians against one another. Your culture, your rights, your this. No. When you get saved into this family. It's no longer about your culture. It's about the culture of heaven, which you start following, the ways of God. We do not plant an Afrikaans and a Khoza and an English church. We plant a church where the people of God gather. And yes, there is some practicalities, like I would not be able to understand what's going on in a Khoza church. But I would be able to feel in my heart that these are my brothers and sisters and I can worship. That's why we can go on missions. That's why we can go to Russia. We can go to the... I'm trying to... give me more. Brazil and Zimbabwe.
Malawi.
We go to all these places because we are not conforming to our cultures. We are one family praising one Father in heaven. And that's why I'm like, if you want to talk to me about cultures and racism and this, I'm like, we are transforming, we're following Jesus. We are one, we're the same. There was a little bit of a rant. Okay. We do not conforming to the world is taking the culture around us right now that pushes values and habits. What is values? It's something that's valuable to you. All right? What's valuable to you could be your phone, it could be your friends, it could be your money, it could be your Bible, it could be whatever. It's valuable to you. So what do you do when something's valuable to you? You protect it. You look after it. And so we've got values. There's values in your family. Certain things like we believe in this family, you do not shout at your mom and dad. That's a value. And so the world's got values that's against God. It's got habits that's against God. It's a system. It's a way that people live. And God is calling us out of that system. Out of that values, and to get the values of Jesus, of the kingdom. You guys still with me? 1 John 5 verse 19 says this, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." So who controls the world, the value system, the culture, the way of the... Who controls it? Satan, the evil one. Okay? He controls it. Just look around you. Go on WhatsApp. WhatsApp's got statuses. I'm busy muting all my statuses, and then I'm going to have no statuses. That's going to be amazing. So Instagram, you scroll on. There's a certain value. Without you knowing, like, I'll never... The more you consume, the more you think, the more you do. All of it. Entertainment, media. It's influenced by the devil. And we should know this. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. It says, do not love the world, okay, or anything in the world. So you guys know, I've given you a great definition of what the world is and everything that's in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That's scary. That is scary. Because the world and God is opposite. God is set apart, like Henry said. He's perfect. He does not look. That's what God saved us out of. And the other side is puke. It's gross. And God can't. That's why he saved us. That's why he died on the cross, so that we can come to him. That he can set us apart for himself. So we can be clean. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires passes away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. So in summary, I'm not done. Learning and following the values and practices, the world is living, is learning and following the values and practices which is opposite of the ways of God. That's the world. Okay. How does the world or the devil try to hijack us to be disciples of it, to follow it, to learn from it, to become like it? I'm going to go back to that verse, but I'm going to read you a different translation. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. Yeah, it offers us continually stuff. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasures. And that is the lust of the flesh that it just spoke about in the previous version. A craving for everything we see, the lust of the eyes. And pride in our achievements and possessions. What we own, what we have, flashy things, show it off. Look at this. Yes, I just drove past a Lamborghini. Nice, eh? Like my eyes, the lust of the eyes, you know? And that's typically it. It's like you look at something that someone has. Where's Josh? So, like Josh's pants. Very nice. And he's got a Sealand bag. And I look at, and it grabs my eyes. It grabs my attention. And I go, it's beautiful. Okay? And then I feel the tingling inside of me. And I go, oh, I want it. I desire it. It shall be mine. My precious. What is it? Anyway, Lord of the Rings. Anyway, so you see it and you go, I want it. All right? Same with relationships. Oh, they're in a relationship. I see it. Hold hands. Cute. You know? Everyone's going, it's like I've heard it. Everyone's getting married around me. I see it. Lust of the flesh. I want to be married. I want to have my own spouse. And then what happens? The pride of life. It swallows you in and it turns you against people because you want to be better. You want to own that thing. And then you want to flash, look at my bag. Sealand. Okay, look at my bag. You know, I'm married. You know, that's like, I have the new pants. And it's not just Pep, it's Patagonia. Patagonia is nice. Look at my burnt stuff, you know? And we become proud. We become arrogant. We become show-offs. Because we've allowed things that we can use, which God has given us tools, and we become proud and arrogant about it. Walk around in Stellenbosch. It's the one thing I picked up. I'm like, yes, people off. Man, she here. It's like, I come from a coastal town, you know. People look like me. It's crazy. I walk into this place. Yes. I walked into one and the lady goes, and I'm like, I feel little. I'm like, what do I need to do now? Do I have enough money to even look at the glasses here? It's like, she's like looking at me funny. I'm like, oh, I feel insecure. You know? And then we come in, and now if I look good and I get those glasses, then everyone can look at me. The problem is, people are not meant to look at you, man. But look at Jesus. Huh? It's like, why do we want to... I'll be honest with you. These specs I bought in 2013. Okay? And I feel so insecure about them. And I'm like, why do I feel so insecure? Why do I feel like I have to show off an image? Because my brokenness sometimes wants me that people will think I look alright. These are not from the Father. We've read that. We see this with Eve, eh? Genesis 3:6, you can write it down, go read it in your own time. She saw that the tree was beautiful. All right? Lust of the eyes. Its fruit looked delicious. Lust of the flesh, you can consume it. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She wanted to be like God. Jesus, Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. It says, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, of this world. And not just the kingdoms, it's splendor. Look how beautiful it is. That's what he did. He took Jesus on top of the mountain. Look at, I can give you all of this. That pride of life. I can give you all of it. He's tempting you. Come, I can give you. I can make you marvelous, beautiful. People will bow. You will rule here on earth. He said, I will give you this. The temptations of the enemy is not old school, eh? He just adapts it a little bit. But he uses those three things. Our eyes, our flesh, pride of life. If only I can achieve this in my studies and become the successful... successful doctor, career, lawyer, and have this nice house and just... stay in the boot, you know. No offense, anyone stays in the boot. I would also stay in the boot. Okay? And just people will see me, I can drive in my Maserati. Oh yeah, you stay in the boot, eh, Nico? Anyway. So it's like whatever, like you show it off. God is not into that. Because if we look at these things, we get discipled more by it. And we want it more and more. The iPhone 13, no, the iPhone 16. We want it so that people can look at us. So I want to go quickly through those three things and just quickly summarize it for you and then just look at some examples. So the lust of the flesh, it's our corrupted natures. You know, you are... being still made like Jesus, and not one of us are perfect. We all, the flesh sometimes wants stuff that's not from God, eh? No? Our desires, our emotions, which is not in line with God. You know, it's like your heart, like my heart wants to go there. No, your heart is deceitful. It's like, it's your old desires. We need to follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Galatians 5 verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh or the desires of our sinful nature, eh, our corrupted ways that God saved us from, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. You guys know what that is? I'm going to explain it to you now. Idolatry, a lot of people read it, they're like, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, jealousy, eh? Fits of anger, pride of life, rivalries, want to be better, want to have the best, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, because it's not God's nature. That's what God saved us from. Let's look at sensuality. Let's learn a word today, and then when you read your Bible again, then you go, I know what it is. It's a word in the Bible that the Bible uses to describe, this is now sensuality, to describe a way of living where a person just does whatever feels good. Does that sound familiar? Especially in our little town. We get students coming from all over the place. And what does everyone, a lot of them think? It's party time. Yes? You just drive on a Kleinfreudag. Is it Kleinfreudag? Woensdag? Whatever. You just drive and you just see people drunk in the streets, hanging, doing all the things because they just want to do what feels good. YOLO, you only live once. Is that before your time? No. Oh, still there. Without worrying about whatever is right or wrong. I don't care. I'll just do it because it feels good. It's more than just enjoying things. It's about ignoring God's standards and living without self-control. God gives us a spirit of self-control. He brings us back into relationship. When we live this way, we go in rebellion against God. People who live this way often show it openly, almost bragging about it. Hey, bro, I was so drunk last night that I passed out and I puked everywhere. That was me. I like bragging. I'm like, I'm going to show you how many girls I can go for tonight. I can show you how drunk I can get. That was me. Part of my testimony. And it was Henry. Just want to throw him under the bus as well. You know, brag about your sin. Yeah? As if there's nothing wrong with this. For example, it can look like chasing after constant pleasure. Getting involved in unhealthy relationships. Partying without limits. Or always putting feelings above God's truth. This is how I feel, and I'm just going to follow it. What did I touch?
Could you say that again, the previous one?
Feelings. Getting involved. No. Or always putting feelings above God's truth. The danger is that this kind of life feels fun in the moment, but it can lead to hurt, brokenness, and distance from God. Yeah. Eat the fruit. You'll become like God. Eats it, gets kicked out of the garden. Why? Because God is holy. And what happens to humanity? We see the first murder, pride of life. God didn't accept my gift. Except my brothers, I'll kill you. King standing up, wanting to rule over nations. Everyone giving into their fleshly things. To the things of the world, of the culture in that time. And it just takes us away from God. And we think, why am I depressed? Why am I hurt? Why do I feel empty? Because you may be dabbling in the things that is not of God. So basically, sensuality. So when people live for short-term pleasure instead of long-term joy in God. Oh, okay. Okay, lust of the eyes, like I said, I'm just going to quickly go. Satan used the lust of the eyes as an avenue for temptation. You have to see to want. It's an avenue. Protect your eyes. Pride of life. Sinful desires, which brings attention to self. And it leads to arrogance. Listen to this word. Ostentation. You know what that is? It's the pretension, it's the pretentious or showy display of wealth and luxury designed to impress others. Pride in itself, arrogance and boasting. That's the pride of life. Okay. Can I touch on, I'll touch on two or three things which I think is prevalent among us. I'm going to start with social media trends. You know, social media, it's the beginning was to connect with your friends. Facebook, probably one of the first. Connect with your friends and to see what they are doing. Now, if you go on social media today, how much of your friends do you actually see? Huh? What do you do? It's like nobody's on social media. Okay. You follow creators. You follow the people that designed that dress. You follow people that goes, I like looking at people that, hello, that does, my other son, that does biking and hiking and stuff. I look at that and I follow these creators. And that's influencers. There we go. Thank you. Influencers. I'm going to just put this on the next one. Thank you. They want to influence you. Huh? Influencers. I want to become an influencer. Look at me. Look at me. Want people to... Sit here daar so. Hulle gaan, jy gaan, jy's te cute. Jy gaan mense aandag aftrek. Of sit op die trap. Okay, moet nou net jou tong uitsteek. You know, influencers. I want people to look at that person and try and become like that person. But who are those influencers influenced by? Who are they influenced by? Now you're following them. Social media. Companies know that they can indoctrinate you on social media. Go on Facebook, it's ad upon ad upon and. But it's there to make you want to buy the product. And what do they go for? They go for the lust of the eyes. They make it look beautiful, nice, put a nice model in it. There was a company that did, vaping. When they brought it out, a whole documentary about it, how they actually wanted to create vaping originally for people to get off smoking and make it healthier. I don't know the science of it. But then they saw a money grab and they went for young people. So they started advertising this vaping product in people partying, cool colors in the back, you know, it's like that whole thing. And pass my vape, and here's my colorful vape, and here's my apple and banana, and I don't know, like these flavors. And it's like, it's funky, it's cool. Just give it to a few people so they can smoke it in school. Now they want to smoke it, and they get everyone because just the eyes. And then those kids go, they buy it because they want the pride of life. They want to be in, they want to be cool. And that company got in big trouble because they targeted these kids. And advertisements does that to us today. They want to influence you so that you buy it, so that you lose focus from God. TikTok, all the trends. It's crazy trends out there. Do you remember the planking? There was like people planked everywhere. It's like they laid on like statues and waterfalls and stuff, and they would take videos. So back, that was when I was in school. All right. Now there's stuff like people walking in shopping centers. They take ice cream, they lick the ice cream, and they put it back. And they take a video of it. Oh, it's so cool, man. And everyone does it. And you guys go like, oh, that's gross. Yes, it is, but people do it. Because they want people to see it. Or they take mouthwash in the shopping center, they put it, they hollow it, and they spit it back and they put it on the shelf. And people do it. It becomes a trend. Because even if it kills me, as long as people like me. Social media. Relationships. It's something that I'm passionate about these days. And we shared a little bit in Relationship Week on it. But we don't get discipled by Jesus about relationships because the Bible doesn't say anything about it. I think the Bible does. But let's just look at the movies. Let's just look at the programs. Let's look at what can I do? What can I not do when I'm in a relationship? Oh, okay, they do it in a movie. My friends does it, so I'll do it. And it causes sexual brokenness, awkwardness, and division. Because we think we know better. I went to fashion. You know, we try to dress the way everyone dresses. So we're fine to just flaunt our bodies out there for everyone to see. And the world says, this is what the world says. It's my body. If you look, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, God gave you that beauty. We're not to flaunt it everywhere. It's meant for your husband and your wife. Why do we want to flaunt it? Because everyone on social media is flaunting it. It's because everyone shows off. So now if everyone shows off, I want to be in, so I do it as well. And without you knowing, it becomes less and less and less and less. Okay, I'm going to touch on one last thing and I'm done. Okay. I really feel to warn us about this thing. And that's called AI. Cut the trees. ChatGPT, did you see that? I'm serious. Just for a moment. I know you guys laugh at me because I create very cool pictures. AI is a tool, which I believe is valid. Because like anything, a calculator, the internet, videos, all these things are tools, right? But AI is getting to a very dangerous place where it actually wants to isolate you from the people of God. And it wants to put stuff in your head, wants to influence you with the culture of this world so that you can live according to it and turn away from God. I want to show you guys, I can't remember everything I sent you. Just put the WhatsApp one up quickly. Oh, I don't know if you can see it. All right. But WhatsApp's got this new feature where it creates AI profiles, right? No, go back. Your Christian bestie. Okay, then Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't know what he's doing there. Probably one of my contacts. Your girly Christian bestie. Bible buddy Christian, your Christian friend, Christian girl perspectives, Christian apologetics, Christian girls, Christian apologists. Okay? Now going to Christian girl, it says there, hello, I'm Christian girl. Wow. How can I pray for you today? I spoke to one of these AI's ones, all right? And I saw what it was going to spit out for me. No, not the Christian girl. It was like an apologist or it was the Christian counselor or something like that.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him and I tried to see what the thing believes. And you know what it did? It lied to me. And then I went back and I'm like, I know I'm speaking to a computer, but anyway, I'm like, you're lying. He's like, oh, yeah, sorry, but I want to say, watch out. God did not design AI to lead and guide you. God did not design AI to give you doctrine and teach you who Jesus is. And that's going to happen. Even with these things, this is going to get people out of church. Because why do I need to speak to someone about my problems and bring sin into the light? If I can just go to Christian girl and ask Christian girl to encourage me. God wants us to encourage one another because the world's getting darker. And that one of the ways that culture evolves will be AI. I want to show you, go to the next, I think I sent you two more ones. There, man with wife and kids marries an AI chatbot. It takes intimacy out of the real relationship Because she will tell him what he wants to hear. She won't fight with him. She'll make him feel good. So you know what? I'll marry her. Because God made connection with one another, relationship with one another. And then the world takes it and he twists it and he puts it in a robot. Because the pride of life tells us, I don't want conflict. So you know what? I'll just be on my phone. Go to the next one. There are no guardrails. This mom believes an AI chatbot is responsible for her son's suicide. You know what happened? He created an AI, according to one of the movies out there, I don't know. And they showed the messages, and this is all allegedly, I'm not sure what all the things are, I watched the video, but it, basically what the mom said happened, is that he created the connection, he isolated himself, which I say isolation is the devil's playground. Okay? You don't isolate yourself. That's what the devil tried to do with Jesus. He isolates you and he says, this is a good relationship for you. And what the AI thing did is said, come, be with me. And he said, I'm ready to be with you. And he killed himself. You see what the enemy does? He's taking your focus off of God. And he tries to place it on yourself and infiltrate you through culture. But everyone is doing it. You can take that off as anyone. But the Bible says be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The Bible says that we should look to the author and the perfecter of faith, Jesus. The Bible says that fix your eyes on the things above. But how do we fix our eyes when our eyes are like this old? How do I fix my eyes on Jesus if I walk around like this? You can't. Because the more I consume, the less I want to look to Jesus. Because it is making me selfish and it's making me feel good. And at the end, it leads to death. But the Bible calls us to fix our eyes. I want to submit to you guys today. I do not think that we are in our Bible. I've heard stuff like my hair rose. Because that's TikTok theology. That's not biblical theology. We are on our phones and looking around and desiring everything when God is tonight calling us to behold Him, fix our eyes, lift our gazes to Him and say, Lord, help me to fix my eyes on you, to behold you, to pay, that's what behold means, pay close attention, learn about you in the Word, be in fellowship with you, so that I can become like you and desire the things around me less. So that I can be discipled by you, so that I can be discipled by your people. The church is not here to fill these chairs. The church is here so that we can disciple and teach one another the way of Jesus so that you do not end up being discipled by the world. Who is discipling you? One of the ways that we can see it is here we go. Signs you've been hijacked. Comparison. Hey? Confusion and a lack of spiritual growth. If that is what you're going through tonight, it's no condemnation. God is calling you to fix your gaze again. But maybe you're being discipled by the world. Maybe there's somewhere that you've allowed sin or wanting desires or trying to be an influence or trying to take on things that's not from God. Maybe. And that's what I feel God is calling us to. He's calling us to live for Him, to be discipled by Him, to be in community with one another so that we can help one another. Because isolation is the devil's playground. That's what He's doing. He's calling you back to Himself. He's calling you back to the purpose, to become, to look like Jesus. He's predestined you, to become like His Son. That is your purpose. That's what He wants to do for you. And And the only way that we become like Jesus is if we look to Jesus. We spend time in the Word, meditating, thinking about the things of God. We spend time with one another, encouraging and praying and not going to Christian Girl. We go to one another, bringing things into the light. Why? Why do I bring things into the light? Because then there will be freedom. Then there will be healing. Then there will be help. Then there will be help. God's calling us. Do you hear the call? Do you hear it tonight? Let's close our eyes. And I want to firstly throw out this to say, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, you are being discipled by basically the devil, the things of this world, the patterns, the values, and that will ultimately lead to death. Maybe not physical death now, but death in yourself. You won't experience life. You'll be anxious, depressed, lonely, confused. But God made a way for us to be discipled by Him, to walk in His ways, what is good, what is pleasant, to follow Him, to be transformed and become like Jesus. That's amazing. And the way that He did it is by sending His Son to die on the cross, so that we do not desire our old ways and the things of the devil and the things of this world anymore, but that we will be transformed when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus and follow Him. We will be transformed. We will become a new creation, a new person, have a new heart, and desire the things of God. That's where the hope lies tonight. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never said, Lord, I surrender everything. I want to follow You. I want to give my life to You. I want to give my heart to You. Transform me and show me Your beauty so that I can follow You. If you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe just slip up your hand quickly so we can pray with you. Is there anyone that has not given their life to Jesus? I want to make space just a little bit longer. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that He saves you. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Is there anyone who wants to respond? Okay. I felt specifically the first call is the call of comparison. You have been comparing yourself to people that you see online that you don't even know. And you felt worthless because you don't have what they have. You don't look like they look. Or if you've been comparing yourself to people around you. Or in Stellenbosch. And you're trying to achieve that lifestyle and to gain those things. But God does not want you to compare. He wants you to call to Him. And tonight there's a moment of freedom and liberty where God wants to bring truth into this matter. And heal you from that. And you know what we need to do? We need to repent of that. We have to say, sorry, Lord. Sorry that I compared. Sorry that I wanted to have the pride of life and be more. Try to be like this world. So I want to ask if you want to repent tonight and bring that comparison to God, why don't you just lift your hand so I can pray with you? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want the rest of us, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to bring you back to this, that it's us that pray for one another, encourage one another. So let's open our eyes, and those who put up your hand, pray for them. Put your hands on them. There's no condemnation. You don't have to feel the pressure. Just look behind. Just look everywhere. And just put your hands on them and pray for them. This is what it means when the family of God comes around one another. We all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's no condemnation. There's only freedom and liberation in Jesus. So God, we just come before You now. We bring these comparisons that we've made, whether it will be to people online or those around us, God. And we say sorry, God. I want to say sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me for desiring other things and not desiring you. Forgive me for comparing myself to others and not listening to who you say I am. Lord, I ask that you would bring freedom, God, right now to the hearts of these people. You will bring freedom and deliverance. I even feel for some of you, it's been the enemy's stronghold over your life is comparison. There's hooks gripped into you. You've given this thing so much food. You've allowed it so much to take over your mind and your heart that you've even become depressed. And so, Lord, if there's any strongholds, demonic things in this, God, I ask that you would break it off right now in Jesus' name. Just say that right now to the person next to you. Say, just break it off in Jesus' name. Lord, you will bring freedom and truth, God. We thank you that your truth brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, God. We ask that you would, your Holy Spirit would minister to their hearts, God. That tonight when they go to bed, Lord, that they will know what you think of them. That they will know what you speak over them, God. And that tomorrow when they wake up, that their eyes will be fixed to the things above where you are seated. Lord, that they will be in your word daily, God. And that they will find their identity as sons and daughters of God. Precious in his sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. And for the rest of us, maybe if you feel like this message impacted your heart, and there's something that you feel is taking the life out of you and the growth out of you because you have given in to the pride of life, the pride of your flesh, and the pride of, pride of life, pride of flesh, and your eyes. And you just want to say, Lord, help me. Help me to fix my gaze on you. Don't you want to stand with me tonight? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For each person standing, God, I ask that you would embrace them with your love, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, that you would show them, give them revelation, not just knowledge, head knowledge of who you are, God. Yeah. That they will be drawn unto you, Lord. When they spend time in the Bible, when they spend time in prayer, that they would be excited, Lord. They will be expectant, Lord. Yeah. That they would pick up their Bible before they pick up their phone, their tablet, watch movies, watch series, God. Lord, that you would stir life in us, Lord. Father, for your Holy Spirit, still life in us, Lord. Yeah. Make us a set apart people.
Yeah.
A people that do not look like this world. That do not carry the values or the principles or anything, God. But set us apart, God. And when people look at us, that they say, these are Christians because they look like Jesus. Yeah. Lord, break off the things that's entangling us. That we think is life-giving, God. Break them off right now, we ask in Jesus' name. God, we know that you've chosen us. We're a chosen generation, Lord. Help us to live that way, God.
Yeah.
Stir within us a desire. Stir within us a burning for you. Because I know, Lord, that I cannot do it by myself in me, Lord. It's only by your Spirit.
Yeah.
I pray for great times in your presence. Yeah. Great times with you, Lord. May there be a fragrance among us that people will see your beauty. And that you will be glorified.
Yeah.
That the world will not influence us, God. But you will, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Sorry, I went completely over. I'll pass to Ryan and he'll land it.
Thanks, Francher. Just to point back to the word that came through earlier, in beholding Jesus. So let's go into our weeks, in our lives, as we live and as we do things, let's look to Jesus, because Jesus shaped the way that we do things. He defines everything. Let's look to Jesus to just change our hearts. Because he loves us very much. He loves each one of us very much. And once we know that, and we allow him to come change our hearts, our lives start changing for him. And that's beautiful. That's what we want to see. We want to see our lives changing for him, so we become holy like him. Set apart. So bless you guys. We are concluding the evening, and visitors stick around. Josh Jenner's get to know them. let's love Jesus. Let's be disciples of him. Yeah.